Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Breaking Football, and you can find me on the Echo Chamber, that is Twitter, at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. I am here with my co-host Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Every day is a great day. Mike, how you feeling?
I'm doing great, man. Some quick news. I entered the Scouting Academy contest to win a free semester with them just recently, and I got the results back. And the results are positive, man. I just went through the first round. I did a report on LeSean McCoy, former Eagle. Still love his game. Don't know what Chip was thinking. But yeah, man, I'm on to the second round, and hopefully I can get through to the finals and win myself a free Scouting Academy semester. That would be absolutely clutch.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you, Ben. Sorry for forcing you to compliment me there. I know that was tough.
It's all right, Mike. You need it. You don't get enough of it at home, so you know you got to be a little bit needy.
That is a fact. Now, first, before we go on, I do want to make a quick plea to you. Look, we put a lot of work into this show, putting it together, editing it, doing research for it. All we ask in return for all of our hard work is that you go onto iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, subscribe, rate, share it, give it 5 stars if you enjoyed the show. Just take 5 seconds to do that for us. That it helps a lot. It keeps the lights on. Also, make sure you're checking out some of the other great Locked On shows. We got Locked On NFL with former scout Matt Williamson. And two of my good friends, Trevor Sikkema and John Ledyard, do a great job on Locked On NFL Draft. So if you're digging all the recent draft talk that me and Ben have been doing, check out that show as well. They do a fantastic job and will keep you up to date on all the current draft prospects. All right, tonight we have the Philadelphia Eagles against the Miami Dolphins, 7 o'clock, in some hot, hot preseason action. First thing I wanted to highlight was the possible matchup of Alshon Jeffrey versus former Eagle Byron Maxwell.
Oh, don't say former Eagle. That just hurts.
Yeah.
Dark times, dark times.
He did not have the best run here. He's rebounded a bit since then with Miami. What do you expect from that matchup if it goes down like that, Ben?
Slaughterfest. I mean, obviously, yes, Maxwell's improved at his time there in Miami, or at least he's a better scheme fit, but I don't think in any realm of possibility, in any alternate universe, that Byron Maxwell can match up against Alshon Jeffrey for a quarter or two and not find himself on the wrong end of a Randy Moss. You know, like, it's, I don't foresee that happening. And I'd love to see Jeffrey get a little bit more involved. Were you reading this stuff, like, well, it was being released, I believe it was late last week, talking about, you know, Jeffrey's a little bit mentally behind as far as not getting all the reps in that he wants to. I saw a report today that he, like, you know, he's not the hardest practicer, and that's kind of concerning some people among the Philly media. Have you been seeing this stuff?
Was that, I saw one by Jeff McClain that said that he was behind, and that was directly after the article that I took him to task for, I believe, on one of last week's podcasts, saying that the collateral damage of Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, yeah. No, I read a Kemsky one, and I don't know about you, but I usually like what Jimmy puts out.
Same
and
here.
And it was about, yeah, it was about mentally Jeffrey being a little bit behind, and not that that's a hidden thing. Like, you know, I believe it was you know, the wide receiver coach Mike Groh was talking about it, and Jeffrey was admitting to it as well. But still, it'd be nice to see something really encouraging from Jeffrey moving forward in this third preseason game, just because we obviously expect him to do very well because he's a fantastic wide receiver, but we haven't really seen it in the preseason game so far. Obviously, he only played for a little bit in the second one. He wasn't there at all for the first one. It'd still be fun to see, though. He's a free agent investment. You want to see him return, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think this is going to be a big deal for him moving forward. I think it's going to be fairly easy for him to pick up the offense and adjust. It's just that, you know, he had that slight thing. They decided to take it easy with him. And, you know, he's going to be behind. That's just the fact of the matter. It's not going to take him long for him to get acclimated. He's not a fresh-faced, baby-faced rookie in there. So I'm not too worried about it, but it is something to keep an eye on. I know he ran the wrong route a couple of times, and Mike Rowe pointed that out as well. But look, I expect him to torch Byron Maxwell, and I also heard that or read that he was torching Xavien Howard in the scrimmages as well. So if he gets that matchup with Howard, we may see some fantastic things from Alshon.
I'll repeat the same thing that I said when we previewed the last week's preseason game. I want to see Wentz throw the ball deep. It's a low stakes game, so it's preseason. I want to see them dial up some deep shots. You know, get a, obviously I'd love to see it off play action because that's when you're going to get your best deep looks. Whether or not a defense would actually respect play action from the Philadelphia offense right now is highly questionable. But I'd love to see Wentz take a few deep shots, especially we've been hearing his deep ball has improved. We've been hearing his deep accuracy has improved, and he's got better deep weapons. I'd love to see that come to fruition just so I can buy into it because I want to get excited about that sort of stuff, but I haven't seen it yet.
And one of the ways we will be able to throw the deep ball is if we take care of business on the interior of this line. It's a tough matchup that we've got with Ndamukong Suh, Jordan Phillips, Devon Godchild, the rookie, and our interior line has struggled in the preseason a bit. I would say more in the run game, but in the pass game, it hasn't been all that pretty as well. What are you looking for specifically from those matchups?
Anything positive? Run game or pass game, for sure. They've got some feisty interior players there. As far as, you know, I loved Devon Godchild coming in. I know he was a polarizing guy, but I had him as a third round sort of a prospect, and he's been showing mighty fine there in Miami. That system fits the way he plays really, really well. I love the selection. Happy to see Godchild doing well. Obviously, Ndamukong Suh is a monster, and it's kind of fallen out of vogue to speak about Ndamukong Suh, but if you go back to the tape for 3 seconds, I mean, he's just, he's throwing people left to right the way that he always has been. And so there's a lot of potential there to generate into your pass rush. And I think that that's something Miami looks to do. Not to mention, it's not like they've got bad pass rushers as far as, you know, Cameron Wake, Akeem Hicks, and Charles Harris, who I'm sure we'll talk about in a second. But they've got the guys where they can generate a pass rush. And I mean, as fun as it is to watch Wentz escape pressure on the regular, which is something he does very, very well, it'd be nice to see him get some clean pockets for sure. So particularly there, I'm looking for, listen, if we've got Isaac Simolo in his second year, he's supposed to be a starter. If we've got Jason Kelsey, who's supposed to remain a starter, even though he's getting a little long in the tooth, he's losing some of his power. Let's see something good. Let's put some security there, because if that's an issue for the entire year, you know, that's an Achilles heel. That causes you problems in the run and in the pass game, and that's no good.
I totally agree with you, man. We need to see some positive signs from that line moving forward throughout the preseason. We need to hit the ground running for sure and protect our quarterback and give him time to throw those deep balls that we want to see from Wentz. So, and you're right about Ndamukong Suh, man. He still has it. Going through games for the Scouting Academy with different teams, and whenever I come across Miami, even if I'm watching a defensive player play against Miami, I'm watching some defensive snaps from Miami just to take a look at Suh, because he's just so dominant. All right, and speaking of dominating defensive linemen, we are going to move on to some of our thoughts on the first round picks for the Dolphins and the Eagles as well. The Eagles, obviously, 14th overall selection, Derek Barnett, is going to be getting a lot of snaps this game. And then on the flip side, a guy that a lot of people mocked to the Eagles, the edge rusher out of Mizzou, Charles Harris. What do you expect to see from both of these guys tonight?
Really interesting case study, a little fun opportunity here for Eagles fans, because a lot of us thought Charles Harris was a potential pick coming in there at number 14. It was rumored that the Eagles viewed him as a top 15 selection. Obviously, he was there on the board with a lot of other names. You know, Foster fell that far, Allen fell that far, all the running backs, or excuse me, just Cook and Mixon fell that far. And then you also had Derek Barnett. 2 games into the preseason, you've got Barnett with 4 tackles and 3 sacks. You've got Charles Harris with 1 tackle and no sacks. And so this isn't, you know, statistically, it's been Barnett all the way. You throw on a little bit of Harris's tape and you can see that he is still the player he was at Mizzou. He's actually, I would say his play strength has even improved. He's more willing to just bull rush and go straight through a tackle, and he's been generating pressure that way. His speed off the edge is still there, though that nasty habit he has of shooting maybe 10 yards behind the quarterback is also still around, and that's no good. That being said, both of these players were brought in to be members of the rotation. Charles Harris is still a very viable member of the defensive end rotation there in Miami. Like I said, he's got Cameron Wake. He's got Akeem Hicks. There are other, you know, pass rushers there who are absolutely viable for Miami, and Charles Harris is going to find time on the field. Same thing with Derek Barnett. The only difference is Barnett's performance has him pushing for more playing time, whereas Charles Harris might still see more of a learning curve. You know, I've seen people say, I'm so happy we got Barnett over Harris. I think it's a little bit too early to sail that ship. But either way, it should be very interesting to contrast these two players. We've got Barnett potentially up against Laremy Tunsil today. And obviously, as we know, Tunsil was a fantastic tackle prospect. My number one rated prospect in that class coming out. This will be his first season with full looks at left tackle after he started the last season with left guard. And even if he's not up against Tunsil, he's got Juwan James on the other side of right tackle, who's a very respectable tackle prospect. And it's said that Barnett's going to get some first team reps. There was a report that that's going to happen for sure. And this is stout competition up against which he's going to go. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's able to do against tougher tackles.
And I'm going to give my thoughts on Charles Harris and Derek Barnett and some of the players that the Eagles could have selected in the first round there right after this.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
I wanted to mention an opportunity for you, gentle listener. Locked On Eagles still has some inventory for sponsorships for the upcoming Eagles season. This is a great and affordable way to connect with Eagles fans like you. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to connect with sponsors than other media forms. So email me directly at LockedOnEagles@mail.com. That's LockedOnEagles@mail.com. Our rates are reasonable and based on the volume of listens, and you can have your business right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, so let's get into some of the different scenarios that could have played out in the NFL draft with the Eagles picking Barnett as opposed to Charles Harris on my board. And I know we talked about this before, and I would love to be wrong about it. And if you want to call me an idiot after two preseason games, you can call me an idiot. We both had Derek Barnett as a second-round prospect. I was higher on Charles Harris than you, I believe. I had him late in the teens. Taco Charlton was right there for me. He went to the Cowboys later on in the first round. Some other guys that I was looking at as far as a first-round prospect, Reuben Foster fell. Would have loved him, but there were serious concerns about the shoulder injury, and there's some off-field concerns with him. He was the second guy on my board if you took away medical and, you know, character stuff that I have no idea about. O.J. Howard, because who knows, man? We aren't a two tight end offense all the time, but we would be if we had O.J. Howard, and you're going to see a lot of that out of the Bucs this year. And he's a supreme talent. Garyon Conley was the other one, but of course that unfortunate case where he was accused of, you know, some nefarious actions leading up to the draft, and we don't know exactly if that was going to be cleared up or not. I may eat my words when it comes to Barnett, and I'll be perfectly happy to do that. I think Charles Harris was a victim of circumstance somewhat at Mizzou because there was some changes with the defensive line coach there, and there wasn't a lot of consistency, which I think Barnett benefited from being there. But Barnett has also shown to be very coachable as a pro as well, flashing some things that he hasn't flashed before, and it's going to be interesting to see Barnett against Tunsil. I don't know about you, man, but Tunsil is one of the better offensive tackle prospects that I've seen in my lifetime since maybe going back to, like, Joe Thomas. He's not Joe Thomas, but, like, he's in that kind of discussion. Tunsil at the combine just looked like an absolute freak. So with his athleticism and Barnett liking to win around the corner like he does, what is Barnett's game plan going to have to be against Tunsil to be successful?
Right, that's a fantastic question. I think that Tunsil has the off-the-snap quickness, and I haven't watched him at left tackle since his days at Ole Miss. So this, you know, maybe it's wrong, maybe he's added more mass, I don't know. But I think his off-the-snap quickness will be enough to negate Barnett's snap anticipation, his quickness, his explosiveness off the snap. And that's where things get really interesting, because we regularly saw in college that if Barnett could not win the edge quickly right off of the snap, he struggled a ton to generate consistent rush, right? Mm-hmm. And Barnett, the bull rush, can it go through Laremy Tunsil? I don't think so. And so he really needs to find a way to either bend around that corner with great flexibility or work an inside rush move. I think those will be the only ways that he wins against Tunsil. Now, obviously, you know, this is a generalization. I'm sure there are bull rush reps if they did 100 times where Barnett would beat Tunsil. I'm sure that if we did reps 100 times, he'd beat him off the snap. But in general, I'd love to see Barnett approach Tunsil very clinically because Tunsil is such a good offensive tackle and because Barnett's getting this look with first team reps for him to approach it with a lot of intention and say, all right, I need to beat Laremy Tunsil. How am I going to do that? What in my repertoire will beat this very talented tackle? I think he can. If he does, that's fantastic. That's a wonderful sign for Barnett moving forward.
Yeah, and one of the things I didn't see from Barnett in college, one of the things I didn't see was a speed to power rush from him.
Right.
With any kind of consistency or really at all. So, man, if he hits a speed to power and bull rushes Tunsil back into the quarterback and creates some pressure, it doesn't even matter if he gets a sack or not. It's an encouraging sign moving forward. So, like, if this is his first real test, I would say, at tackle. You know, Spriggs had some hype coming out in the draft, and he got a couple of sacks on him. But I had Tunsil way above that type of talent. All right, so let's move on to what our slot cornerback situation is going to look like in our nickel package against Jarvis Landry. I mean, is it Jalen Mills? Is it Robinson? Is it Ron Brooks? Who is it, and can they match up with Landry?
Right, moving into the beginning of the season, I anticipate you have Darby starting on one side, probably Mills starting on the other. I personally would love to see Rasul Douglas out there. I'm a big Douglas guy, as we know. I think you want to see what you have there with Rasul Douglas. They talked about maybe moving him to safety as a potential thing. I want to see what he has at corner first because I think he's got a lot of talent there. But either way, I think you'll end up seeing Mills on the outside to start, and then either Patrick Robinson, who's been getting first-team nickel looks since the Darby trade, or you're going to see Ron Brooks there. And Brooks wasn't a bad slot corner. Definitely somebody upon whom you could improve looking at his 2016 performance before he had the quad injury. And then Robinson found success in the nickel when he used to be with the Chargers and the Saints. That's where he kind of did his best work. And so it'll be interesting to see if they try to rotate reps in on Landry and see if you get some Robinson, some Brooks, figure out who's got maybe the best matchups there. It'll be interesting to see if they find any time for Jalen Mills there. I'm somebody who would love to see Jalen Mills get more looks in the slot. I think that he'll be a better slot corner than a boundary corner. But as of right now, you know, Jim Schwartz loves him on the outside. So there's a lot of ways they can go. I will say that this is an opportunity for somebody to win the slot corner job, in my opinion. If you can show up for two or three drives and really put the cuffs on Jarvis Landry from the slot corner position, obviously you're going to lose some because Landry's an excellent slot receiver. But if you can put the cuffs on him for two to three drives, you're really showing that you can handle some premier NFL slots. And that's something that, looking at this Eagles secondary, there's a lot to like, but definitely that nickel spot is a weakness. And if somebody can perform there on Thursday, that'd be a big victory for this Eagles defense.
If you look at Jay Cutler and his usage of the slot receiver throughout his career, it is very, very low. So some fantasy advice for you there as well. You know, we're going to have to look at the tape and see that, you know, our quarterbacks were actually doing a good job from the nickels shutting him down as well. So don't just look at the stat line and say, well, Jalen Mills was out there, he shut him down. That might not necessarily be the case. Also, buy high on Devontae Parker. Anyway.
Thanks, Mike.
No problem, bud. I'm here for you. Fantasy advice, I do it all. All right. Now, I was weak last night, and I clicked on Elliot Shore Park's podcast.
God bless.
And I said I might have a rant, and you know what? I don't. I actually don't. I have something somewhat pleasant to say. He was actually defending Mike Lombardo's article that people were calling clickbait when he was asking if LeGarrette Blount could possibly be cut. I don't think he will. However, I thought the points that Lombardo brought up were noteworthy. I think it was clickbaity in the way he did the headline. I think if the headline was more, should we be concerned about LeGarrette Blount moving forward, I could have gotten more in line with the story. Now, ESP did take some time to say that people that call his stuff clickbait are lazy. I am definitely not a lazy person, I can tell you that much. He can shut that down, and he's more than welcome to come on the show and argue about it with me. Ben, should we be concerned, just real quick before we go, since I mentioned it, should we be concerned about LeGarrette Blount moving forward? I'm going to ask you this probably 17 more times before the regular season, since it's such a hot topic.
No, we shouldn't be. And I wrote, actually, for Bleeding Green, and it released yesterday, a piece on Donnell Pumphrey and his preseason. And obviously, Blount hasn't had the best preseason either. The run blocking has been garbage. It's just been straight booty cheeks. I mean, it's not pretty. And a lot of the running backs, their box score performance, kind of like you alluded to, their box score performance has been suffering in a big way. And so I'd encourage you to tap the brakes there and wait. You're not, I forget who it was who made the point, but Blunt costs nothing for the Eagles to keep, really just minimal amounts. They're not going to save much money at all if they cut him. You know, it's not going to be a significant cap move. And this is a guy who was successful last year. And so I think we can all take a chill pill for a little bit and relax. I'm also looking at the Miami Dolphins depth chart right now. I've definitely been saying Akeem Hicks this entire time for the defensive ends, right? Yeah, it's Will Hayes. It's Willie Hayes. Akeem Hicks is a Chicago Bear.
How'd you-
and I'm going to say that now. And so that when y'all comment about it later, I'll already have said it. And so that'll make me feel a little better.
Look,
Will Hayes, the defensive end for the Miami Dolphins.
I've already had to have one section of corrections and omissions for a couple of screw-ups where my brain was going faster than my mouth, or my mouth was going faster than my brain. See, it just happened right there. Just that we all make mistakes, Ben.
I was sitting here going, yeah, Akeem Hicks, great defensive end. And then I was, you know, I really don't think Akeem Hicks is a Miami Dolphin. Who am I thinking of? And it was Hayes. The last names are close enough. Their H start with five letters. I plead the fifth.
We'll go with that. Look, if you want to hear more corrections and omissions tomorrow, remember you got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.